It is 6:30. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Thank you, everyone, for coming. First item on the agenda is review and approval of the minutes from the prior meeting. If anybody has any corrections or additions, if they'd be kind enough to share them. Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve the minutes, please.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
A second.
Sheldon. Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That handles our minutes. And the only item on the agenda is kind of furthering the conversation on our cannabis zoning ordinance.
Yeah, so last month, we had the public hearing for this zoning ordinance, and then there were a few questions from the board that we wanted to have answered before we gave a recommendation to the city council. So just going through a few of those items, let's see. One question was about whether we could increase the buffer distance for daycare centers, and the answer to that is no, we cannot, because it is set by the Minnesota state statutes. Another question had to do with whether or not we could include the residential commercial district as an option for where cannabis and hemp business uses could be allowed. And so the answer to that is yes, we could do that. And so you'll see that the principal uses table has been updated to include the RC district, and there it's being proposed to allow cannabis retail and lower potency hemp edible retail businesses within that RC district, which is just the same uses as the other commercial zones within Catherine as proposed. Also permitted with standards, so no CUPs or anything special like that. Just the same as the other commercial districts. And then let's see, there's also an issue with the map here that shows the buffer distances. You'll see that that has been fixed, so the Dodge County Fairgrounds are no longer identified as a school district. So, any questions about these changes?
I don't have any, no. So I guess where do we go with the conversation from here? I mean, if we approve the zoning ordinance, we move forward with this plan, but if we turn it down, what does that mean exactly? That no cannabis operations are allowed in Casson?
Well, we can't, like, ban cannabis operations.
Yeah, I understand that.
But,
I think it would mean that we wouldn't have buffer zones.
Well.
We need to regulate it.
Sure.
Because the council has already said that they're going to allow them.
Okay.
So this is to regulate where they go and what they can do with them.
Sure.
So not passing this is just, I mean, we have to pass.
It's just delaying the inevitable.
Right.
Okay.
We have to pass something so that there is regulation.
Sure.
That we have to follow.
Well, I just look at this and I see the state's guidelines moving forward that we have very little influence over, so. I guess all we're doing is recognizing.
Duplicating what the state's already done, right?
Exactly, and it's not like we really have a choice over the matter.
Well, so like the zoning districts, I suppose, would be where we have quite a lot of control, because state statutes don't get like so specific as to like your C1 district can only have, you know, these uses allowed versus, you know, your C2 can be this. It doesn't say like that specifically. So that's where we have, you know, some give and take is where we can allow those types of things. Let's see, hours of operation, I think, is another thing that we are allowed to change. Let's see, what else? But yeah, the buffers we can't change. The definitions pretty much all come from the state statute.
So Ian, regarding the zoning.
Yep.
DH is listed as the only place where outdoor cultivation is allowed. Is there any development holding inside the city limits right now?
Yes.
I'm looking at the image here, and I think it's a little out of date. but...
Yeah, so, I mean, there have been rezonings of development holding districts since the last update of the zoning map.
A lot of things that are on here that say PUD that probably aren't anymore.
Yeah, so that will have to be updated.
Can you highlight where you know development holdings are at?
Like, for example, let's see. The cemetery land that the city owns, the half of it that is still owned by the city that didn't get sold to Windsor Court, like, that's development holding because it wasn't rezoned to the PUD. So, like, for an example, that could be outdoor cultivation for cannabis. Let's see, what else?
But that's still city property, right?
Right. I mean, it's under a lease agreement, so if we wanted to not allow cannabis on our own land, we could probably sort that out. But just as an example, that's one thing.
Might be something to put in a lease.
Yeah.
Is that the only...
I think, let's see, part of Schutte's property is still, I think, development holding. Golden Kernel is probably also development holding.
Schutte's is in the buffer zone though, right?
Yeah. Yep, that wouldn't be... Although this is just for business, though. These buffers are just for business, not for cultivation.
Oh, so the outdoor cultivation wouldn't be buffered at all?
I don't think so.
But it's outdoor cultivation for a business setting in order to... With the intent for it's for sale as a business. Right. The difference between the broad term of business versus retail. Retail being a specific type of business.
Right, and in the ordinance proposal it does say, like, the operation of a cannabis retail business is prohibited within 1,000 feet of a school or 500 feet of a daycare. Or public park, or within 300 feet of another cannabis retail business.
So the outdoor cultivation and development holding, and then everything in I-2, since none of those are retail, those would all be allowed within next door to a daycare, is what you're saying, or a school?
If they're zoned that way, I just don't know that there are any places that are zoned like that. That are in the buffer distances.
But you said there's some of the Schutte property is development holding, but that's within the buffer for the school?
Yes.
So that would be an example?
Yeah, so right where his cursor is, if I'm understanding properly, that field could be seeded and they could grow there. Right?
Cannabis. Let's see.
Well, the cultivation is still considered a business.
Yeah, but it's not a retail business, if what Ian is saying is correct. Can we scratch the word retail and just say business? Because there's a little bit of purple I-1, I-2 down there that's in the buffer zone. Where is that at? That's... So, I guess basically right over here, down the road, whichever way it is, that the buffer zone is covering, but it doesn't matter if they're I-2, right? Because I-2 doesn't have any retail. Right, so they could do, according to this, indoor cultivation, wholesale, manufacturing, and more wholesale. Mm-hmm.
Well, it, okay, so the development holding is permitted with standards for cultivation. Cultivation is still considered a business. So they wouldn't have a retail business out there, but they'd still have a business.
Agricultural business.
An agricultural business, which is still permitted with standards. So I'm not...
Yeah, but if you're reading section, let's see, C1E, it says the operation of a cannabis retail business is prohibited within 1,000 feet of a school and within 500 feet of a daycare. So the word in question here is that it says retail business and not just operation of a cannabis business. Right, so since it says retail, to me, that means in this table, only cannabis retail and lower potency retail are going to be excluded by the buffer zones. And all the other rows in this table that aren't retail would not have any exclusion. They could go wherever they want, as long as they're in the correct zone, whether that zone is next to a school or not. So then the question is that what we want? Is that okay? Or not? Or can we do anything about it?
Lower potency hemp edible retail would also be exempt from the buffers. It's specifically defined as not a cannabis retail business.
So even though it says retail in the table, it's exempted somewhere else?
Yep. Like in the definition of lower potency hemp edible retailer.
Okay. A business which sells lower potency edibles, but which is not a cannabis retailer.
Yep.
So, in my opinion, I think we should be stricter than that and not allow indoor or outdoor cultivation, anything else in this table, I guess except the lower potency, which is already excluded, within the buffer zones. Unless the state says I can't do that.
So what you're saying is...
Can we...
Yeah.
Will the state even allow that?
But, right, because like...
But theoretically, are you telling me that I can't grow hemp or can't grow cannabis in my garage because I'm in a buffer zone and...
No, because you're not a business.
No, that's what he's saying is if he is cultivating it indoors as...
If I'm cultivating it indoors with the intent of selling it to a wholesale operation, I can't do that because I'm in a buffer zone.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you can do that either way.
Oh,
the state's not going to let you do that either.
Yeah, you can only grow your own for your own purposes.
We had a brewery in somebody's backyard, so understand it.
Yeah, I see.
I'm really shooting here out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have a license, I assume, in order to sell it to anybody regardless. And then then these would be zones on top of that that would also restrict you. And then I'm saying we should also add the buffer zone on top of that too.
But should the government really be that involved in people's lives? I guess I don't know.
I mean, I'm just thinking, does it really make a difference whether it's retail or not retail? Like, if there's literally a field of weed growing across the street from the Quick Trip and Kitty Corner from the school, is that acceptable when we're saying, you know, they can't have a retail business in the same spot?
I don't follow your statement, forgive me.
What
does a field of weed have to do with our... Oh, did you say weed?
Weed.
Weed, okay.
Yeah, weed.
Fair.
Sorry.
I don't think it is grown cannabis outside. I would assume we're looking at a Houston's type of greenhouse type of... I don't know much about the commercial side of cannabis growing, but I guess I would envision more of a Houston's type of setup where they're growing marijuana in the scope of a greenhouse as opposed to somebody growing it like corner soybeans here around town.
Right.
But I know so little about the actual growing aspect.
I would agree with your assumption, but our ordinance is not going to care either way, right?
Yeah.
So...
I guess I'm not a big fan. I'm a bigger fan of less government as opposed to more government. But, and if we need to come back and revisit zoning because of some oddball scenario, we do it. There's also the piece of my brain that looks at this if I wanted to grow marijuana in my backyard, I could do it. You know, it's, I don't, I have no plans to, but it's a plant. I don't see a 12, 13, 15-year-old kid trying to buy cannabis for a retail outlet. I see them probably trying to sneak a plant in somewhere in a field somewhere, or grandma and grandpa's garden, or something along those lines, as opposed to trying to break into a retail establishment or something of that nature, but...
All right.
I'm also not very good when it comes to breaking the law.
Ian?
Yep.
Before this gets to city council, can you just look and see whether or not we're allowed to restrict everything and not just retail? I'm not even sure that the state will even allow us to, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then I see that you guys left some comments in here on this ordinance PDF. So I'm curious to the answer of this comments. How is the measurement for the buffer zone going to be done? Is it going to be done based upon the parcel lot lines? Because that's the way it looks like the buffer zone map is presented. Or is it going to be based upon the physical location of a school building or a playground equipment?
For the park one specifically, that's why on the map it has like those yellow dots. Mm-hmm. So it's measured from like the actual, like a swing set or a basketball court, not like the actual perimeter of the parcel that the park sits on. But if it's like a school, then it's the actual parcel.
Some of those parks don't have playground equipment, and they have baseball diamonds and...
Yeah, or a baseball diamond.
Right, so like, I would think we'd want to do it the same both ways, like for enforcement reasons. I don't think you need to go and update the buffer map, because this obviously is not, you know, if there's some violation, you're not going to pull up the map and be like, oh, you're in the line or on the line or something, right? You're going to go out, I assume, with a tape measure or a laser gauge, and you're going to take some measurements and see, is this property within 1,000 feet or not?
I would probably measure it on our GIS.
Sure.
System.
I would say doing the parcel lines makes the most sense. If you're going to do it for the schools, then it makes sense to do it for the parks. Because there's a lot of potential places in our parks where there's no equipment, but kids are regularly in those locations, like football fields at veterans or whatnot, right? So that area should be included when you're measuring buffer zones.
100% with that. I mean, just look at Lions Park right there.
Yeah.
Measured from the west side. That leaves a huge, that only covers half of it. If we were to...
Yeah, that would push it out quite a bit.
Yeah, but it is technically park. And used space, it's not wooded. I mean, that would be fair, I think. Legit. If we were to do that.
Sure.
Just to make sure we're covered.
Okay.
So maybe make that clear. The wording at E just says, within 1,000 feet of a school property and with 500 feet of a daycare residential treatment facility, public park property, right? Just put the word property in there, or parcel or something, to make it a little clear on how it might be enforced if we had a issue with...
Yeah, I can look into that some more.
So you're going to want to check, too, to make sure that the... I mean, if the state is setting those... boundaries from... You know, 1,000 feet or 500 feet or whatever the state set boundary is. What are they saying from a
how to count it? Sure, yeah, that makes sense. Statute buffer. Let's see if I can find a quick answer. Yeah, because it just says, like, an attraction within a public park that is regularly used by minors, including a playground or athletic field.
Right, so a lot of our parks are, have big athletic fields, right, so. Anyway, I guess I'd be in favor of, I guess I'll just make the motion to recommend approval of this, to the council, and then have, ask Ian to bring a little bit of clarifying information at the time, but again, I don't, there's not much we can do here, right? Our hands are kind of tied.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Are there any more questions or concerns or thoughts? We do have a motion to approve on the table, do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That would be our recommendation to the city council. Anything else we need to talk about tonight, gentlemen?
Well, I guess I can use this official opportunity to advise you all that Mr. Norrie has applied for an appeal of the city's revocation of his conditional use permit for his fence. So at the next council meeting on the 19th, there's going to be a public hearing, and then after that, the city council can reaffirm their revocation or overturn it or modify it, but.
So the council meeting on the 19th will officially be that hearing?
Yes. Yep.
So forgive me, he wants his conditional use permit reinstated?
Reinstated with the condition of having the neighbor agreements removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Even though he doesn't need a conditional use permit, okay.
Yep.
Understood. Thank you. Anything else? I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.